Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed, as always, to be with you this wonderful morning as we go into the Word of God. And y'all know what I'm going to say? It is a great word this morning. It is a great word. I'm all giddied up, for God is in charge of everything. And we know it, we believe it, we trust it. And the word that God gave me this morning is, who judges me, he who judges me is the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4 and 4, section that God gave me. But today, you know, we'll be listening to young Mr. Elihu again and what he has to say to Job. Will be in our 99th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. So we'll be in Job chapter 35 through 36, the 99th Psalm, verses 1 through 9, Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 25, and 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 is where our title will be coming from this morning. And our 365 days of prayer today always just seems to flow with whatever the word is. And today it just simply says, my comforter, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Ooh. Matthew 11 and 29 NLT. But again, sometimes you just got to get that word from King James. And so I'm going to that to Matthew in King James. It's just something about that word in King James that, you know, just it touches my heart. And it's the way that we learned it as children. You know, it lets us know that nothing, no burden that we carry is too hard for God. You know, Jesus gave us this comforting word, take his yoke. Excuse me. Take my yoke upon you and lean and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And when we go back to verse 28, it just all comes together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank God that Jesus loves us like that. He loves us like that. Come all ye that labor. What a word. God will take care of us. Comforter, I am joined to you. Your gentle and humble heart draws me in every single time. Why would I resist your presence when it brings me the life I so desperately long for? There isn't anything that you lack. Oh, God, you know when my heart is heavy with sadness. In these times, fill my heart with your love that brings relief. In your eyes, I see the reflection of my sorrow. What a beautiful mystery that you share in my grief, not just in, yeah, I know how you feel, kind of way you weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. My heart is overwhelmed. Solidarity. Thank you for not demeaning my grief by explaining it away. I know that I will see the rainbows of your promises, but in the middle of my heartbreak, you do not rub my face in the happiness of others. Thank you that you are present in my process. I am undone by your steadfast companionship. And the word for today, can you invite God into your pain, daring to see where he is in it? I don't know who that prayer was for this morning. Pray you find comfort. I pray you find comfort because it's so easy. It's so easy to feel left out. But God gives us strength in the midst. And I had some time today, yesterday, with someone. And I did. And I had a great conversation. And I thought, what a blessed man he is to have such an awesome wife. And what a blessed woman she is to have such an awesome husband. You know, laughter is good for the soul. We got to thank God every time we meet another believer and watch God work in their life as he works in yours. Heavenly Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for all the things that come from you, God. But there is none like you, God. There is none like you, God. For you, Lord God, put the stars in the sky. You, Lord God, put the sun and the moon so that we have light in the day and light in the night. Father God, you are great and omnipotent. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. And I ask you, Lord, as I ask every day, before I go forth in your word, Lord God, lead and guide me. Increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I lay myself at your feet. Use me, Lord. Speak through me what you want me to say. Let me not add to it or decrease what you give me, Lord God. For you are my everything, and I am your humble child, open and ready to be used by you. In Jesus' name, I lift up this holy word, that it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I pray you can hear me clearly because I've had some issues with my headset. But I know that God's word is going forth. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm all filled up this morning. As I was studying the word, I got today's word and yesterday's word as well. And all I could say was, wow, God. Woo! You show out all the time. You guide us and lead us, God. And all I can say is thank you. Just had me some time with God this morning. Just in prayer. Just talking to my Father. You got to have them conversations with your parents. You know, I am grateful for my mother. I'm grateful for my mom. I'm grateful for the dad God gave me. I'm grateful for my parents. Grateful for my mother who gave me a mother and a father. All I can say is thanking God. But God is in charge of everything. And we should always give him thanks. Pray for your family. Pray for those that weep. Pray for those that mourn. Don't put your feelings in their place. Well, if it was me, I don't think I would be good. No, it's not you. You don't know someone's grief. You know, we can't just think, well, it's done. It's over. The body's in the ground, so they need to just get over it. Who are you to tell someone what they need to get over? God is in charge of everything. And as we go to our word, you know, Elihu is like wanting to tell Job, you know you did something wrong. You need to get over yourself. He don't know what Job is feeling. Again, we talk about Job in this abstract, well, you know, Job was sick so long, skin fell from his bones. You know, come on. We got to understand Job went through some stuff. 10 children lost. Everything he had worked for, lost. Wife wanting to curse God. He had to go through. And then his so-called friends come over to give him comfort, and instead they come over to judge. They come over to judge. Well, you must have done something wrong, or you wouldn't be in this condition. And now this young man, you know, young man, and that's what he said, I'm young, but I heard all y'all, and I'm going to give you a piece of my man, this kind of thing. And it's like, look, young man, you don't have a clue. You don't know what you think you know. But he think he got it going on. So let's see what young Mr. Elihu has to say. Moreover, Elihu answered and said, do you think this is right? My righteousness is more than God's. But you say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned? I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see, and behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven? There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. Although you say you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now, because he has not punished in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, therefore Job opens his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge. Elihu also proceeded and said, bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. Now understand, this young man thinks he is so all that. He is speaking for God. Can't nobody speak for God but God. You know, we got to be careful when someone says, well, you know, God told me to tell you. Okay, what did God tell me, though? You know, understand that when a prophet speaks, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, what they speak is what you already know. And what they speak is a confirmation of what God has already told you. But you got to wait on the Lord. But most of the time, it's something you already know in your heart. A prophet spoke to me on last week, and what he spoke and what she spoke were things that I already knew. Touched my heart because I knew what they were saying was what God had given me, but that I have to just wait. I have to be patient. There's some things I got to get done. And when it's time, God will make that prophetic word come to fruition. All I have to do is wait on the Lord. I believe God, and I trust him 100%. I know I've seen him work so many times in my life that all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Can't nobody speak for God but God. And this is what he said. Bear with me. This is this young man telling these grown folks about themselves. Whew. Bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker, for truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Okay. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings. For he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters, held in the cords of affliction, then he tells them their work and their transgression, that they have acted defiantly, commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrite in heart store up wrath. They do not cry for help when he binds them. They die in youth, and their life ends among the perverted persons. He delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their ears in oppression. Indeed, he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint. And what is set on your table will be full of richness. But you are filled with the judgment due to the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold of you, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take you away with one blow. For a large ransom will not help you avoid it. Will your riches or all the mighty forces keep you from distress? Do not desire the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, do not turn to iniquity, for you have chosen this rather than affection. Behold, God is exalted by his power. He teaches like him. Who teaches like him? Who has assigned him his way, or who has said you have done wrong? Remember to magnify his work, of which men have sung. Everyone has seen it. Man looks on it from afar. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. For he draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy? Look, he scatters his light upon it and covers it, for by these he judges the peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike. His thunder declares it, the cattle also concerning the rising storm. And I will say this. A clock is right. It's right at least two times a day. And a lot of what this young man says is true. But some of it is him speaking for God. That's the point. You cannot speak for God. Only God can speak for itself, can judge Job. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their ears in oppression. God wants to use our affections, our afflictions, and the way he delivers us from them to lead us into a deeper and richer relationship with him. We should treat adversity as a bridge to a closer walk with God. And as I said, a clock is right 2 times a day. This young man, everything you said about God is true. Nobody can put the heavens together but God. Nobody can take lightning in its hand but God. You know, but we cannot speak for God. And what he said is the truth. Behold, God is exalted by his power, who teaches like him. And there's no one who has assigned him his way. No one. Or who has said, you have done wrong. No one. And I read this word and I thought, this young man speaks a lot of truth. Except he judges Job. And he has no right to do that. Because God can speak. Go into our psalm this morning. It says, the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Hallelujah. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimony, ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. The Lord our God is holy. Are you trusting in him today? Are you giving him all of you? In the 99th Psalm, verse 1, Dr. Stanley gives us this life lesson. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. Why should we tremble when we ponder God's sovereignty? Why should our hearts be moved when we consider his presence? Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality. Verse 15 and 16. 99th Psalm, verse 8. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. God's forgiveness is not incompatible with our oppressed to his discipline or are opposed to his discipline. When we place our faith in Christ, he forgives our sins, past, present, and future. But he still promises to discipline us when necessary. Hebrews 12, 4 through 11. Don't get it twisted. We will pay for our sins. Yes, we are forgiven. But don't be caught in your sin when Jesus comes. Because that's it. That line has been crossed. If you are caught in sin, when Jesus comes, you are done. Our pen is in it. Yes, you are forgiven of sins, past, present, future. But there's a word that has got to go in there. You've got to repent. You can't be forgiven without repentance. That's my feeling. I'm going to say what I believe. I believe you got to repent. You got to ask God to forgive you and help you get through your mess. Because everything that happens is for a purpose and a reason, and we got to go to God. Don't try to do it on your own because it's not going to work. You've got to go to God. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 22 through 25. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Come on now. We got some older parents now. You know, the parents that didn't have children till they were in their 30s and 40s. And some of these kids forget who is mom and who is dad. Sometimes they call themselves getting embarrassed because they have older parents. But the older parent is becoming the norm because they want to accomplish some things and then have their children. I was in my 20s when I had my children. But my husband and I were blessed, accomplished a lot. And I'm thankful and grateful, and I'm blessed. But I tell you this, we got to understand that God is in charge of everything. And we may be the first in this and the first in that, but ultimately God is in charge of our life. God is the one that takes us to the throne. So we got to give whatever it is to him. We can't be so high and mighty in our own mind that we forget to tell God thank you, that we forget to let God know how much we appreciate his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness. There's none like God. There's none like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's none like the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us, leading and guiding us. Tell God, thank you. And as we go to verse 23 of the 23rd Proverb, it says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a wise child with a light in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. And let her who bore you rejoice. Rejoice, family. And our word for this month is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I tell you, Apostle Paul, good morning, the missionary's missionary. Because Paul was a missionary. He was a missionary and he was an apostle. But his mission and his absolute responsibility was to establish church and bring the Gentiles within to the into the vine, to graft us in with God. Hallelujah. Thank him today. And it says, let a man who consider us as servants of Christ. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. Come on now. To be a steward, you've got to be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, okay? For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. And that is our title today. He who judges me is the Lord. He says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Woo! And I love that word. He who both brings to light the hidden things of darkness. And you know, we always say, what's done in the dark comes to the light. That's kind of where that saying comes from. Because that's not actually scripture. That's a saying from scripture. But we know that God is going to bring to light everything. He's going to bring to light all your mess. When you stand before God and he opens that big old huge book of your life, you're going to find out some stuff that even you might have forgotten that you did. Well, you remember when you was this age, when you was 10 years old, you did this, that, and the other, and you were disobedient. But I love the fact that you repented and told your mother and your father you were sorry, that you was about every little thing, every little thought. But who can judge us? The Lord. God will judge you. He who judges me is the Lord. He who judges you is the Lord. The only thing that the world can do is judge the right and the wrong of this world. And that's why folks are sitting in prisons and jails and detention centers. It's because they did wrong in the world, and the world courts are judging them. But ultimately, your final destination judgment can only come from the Lord. And as we continue in this word, it says, till the Lord comes, who will both bring to light and hidden things of darkness, and reveal the counsels of the heart, then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. You know, folks try to put pastors and preachers and teachers against each other. Well, you know, I like the way such and such. You know, I like the way pastor preaches. Well, you know, I like the way assistant pastor such and such. Well, you know, I like to hear what deacon has to say. You know, because I don't know. I just don't understand pastor with all his big old words and all the stuff he got to say. I like the way deacon preaches. Well, you know, I like first lady because first lady, you know, she preaches. Well, you know, I got a woman pastor, and, you know, she is the bomb. And that's who I like to hear my pastor. I don't want to hear some man up there going on and on. I like my woman pastor. And all this stuff creates confusion. Well, you know, I'm Kojic. Well, I'm Methodist. Well, I'm A&E. Well, I'm Episcopalian. Well, I'm Presbyterian. Well, I'm Catholic. Well, you know, I'm Church of God. No, I am Baptist. Oh, my. I am Southern Baptist Convention. And you know, we don't have no woman. A woman does not belong in the pulpit. We get so caught up in denominational and who's better than whom, and this church is better than that church, and this congregation is better than that congregation, that we forget everybody is supposed to be teaching and preaching on the one God, the one Savior, and in the Holy Spirit. We should be preaching in the Spirit. No one is better than anyone else. No congregation is better than any other congregation. No denomination is better than any other denomination, because we shouldn't have denominations in the first place. Because we're all supposed to be preaching and teaching on our Father God, Savior Jesus Christ. And we should be speaking and teaching with the leanings of the Holy Spirit. We got to get out of that foolishness. Everybody's talking about this one's better than that one. We all do our jobs and have assignments. As again, we are one body. One body. God is the head. And each one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. And we got to get out of the denominational nonsense. And don't can't support each other. If this church is having an event, why do you not support them? I don't go over there. You know, I'm not going to step my foot, you know, non-denominational. I understand. I'm a girl, please. I'm Baptist, and we've been around for a long time. I don't have time for all that jump up, man. I'm an A&E, and, you know, we've been around since the 1700s. We ain't got, I don't have time for all of that. All of that fake stuff. Yeah, okay, I don't care. Give me my 175-year-old church. I'll have time for that. We got to get out. That's what Paul is saying. We got to stop it. He says, "For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full." Come on, Paul, you better preach. "You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. But I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death." Come on now. And that's what happened. They died. "But we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the outscourging of all things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructions in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remain with you, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" Paul's telling these folks, you know, you got folks that get so puffed up in themselves that they forget who brought them to the park. Leaving not with their prom date, but with somebody else. The Lord brought you to salvation. God gave us his son so that we may be saved, set free, and filled with his Holy Ghost. We can't put God aside for anything and anybody. There's only one God, only one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit, and they are one. And they are the head of the body. Whatever is your assignment, do your assignment. If it's to evangelize, evangelize. If it's to teach and preach, teach and preach. If it is to pastor or a congregation or to start a church, you are an apostle. As you minister and you go on missions, whatever your assignment is, do it. If you have started what God has called you to do, just do it. Do you think every morning I want to get up early and study and look and say, oh, and then God said, why, don't complain, gave you this assignment. I'll wake you up every morning. I'm the one that put breath in your body. I'm the one that keeps you from coughing, not the cough medicine. I'm the one that woke you up today. Can you spend some time with me? Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will spend time with you. As Jesus asked the disciples in the garden, can you just stay awake? He prayed, for he knew he was about to be taken. All he wanted was 1 hour. God, 1 hour every day to study and to praise him for this assignment. I get filled up when I think about how good God is and how good he's been to me. And I'm thankful for what is coming. I know that God has great plans for my life. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, this morning. And as Paul says in these life lessons, in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. None of us are in a position to judge the motivations of the human heart. While the Bible does instruct us to react in certain ways to particular kinds of behavior, 1 Corinthians 5 and 2, which we'll be in tomorrow, we are never to judge anyone's intent. Who are we to place our judgment on others? Because as we judge somebody, somebody else is judging us. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7, what do you have that you did not receive? In an ultimate sense, human arrogance makes very little sense because we never accomplish anything except by using the gifts, talent, energy, inspiration, and even breath that God gives to us. And I speak that because I've been there where there I've had to have breathing treatments 2 and 3 a day to get my breath back in order because of my bronchial tube trying to act up. Come on now. Don't have asthma. And what I was told is that I have conversational bronchitis, meaning that when I talk too much, I will start to cough. And I'm like, but that's my job. That's what God has given me, to speak and teach his word. So you're going to say, when I speak and teach the word of God, I'm going to start coughing? Yeah, well, it's a lie. Do what God called me to do. And I'm not going to worry about breath. No, that my daddy God's going to give it to me. We got to stop for the breath in my body. Thank you, Lord, for the hope in the future. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. I didn't come to preach, but this word is given to me by God. And I can only say what he tells me. Tell God thank you. Corinthians 4 and 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Paul learned such a loving attitude from Christ himself. The Lord does not correct us in order to shame us, but because he loves us and wants to spare us the pain that our simple actions always bring. Tell it to somebody. Hallelujah. Even though Elihu brought himself trying to tell Job who God was, again, many of the things he said were the truth. But he could not judge Job. Only God can judge us. Hallelujah. The ultimate judgment comes from God when we all stand before him. And there's going to be many of folks that we think is holy and righteous that are not going to make it in. And we're going to be like, but I thought you don't know what was going on behind closed doors. All you saw was the Sunday person, not the one that's every day. You saw the Sunday person that came to church with family and they all sat very quietly together and praised the Lord in unison and did everything. And ooh, that's a great family. But you didn't know that just before they walked through the door, they had got cussed out. That some one of them children had been beat down this morning. And that he wasn't crying because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was crying because he was in pain. We got to understand, we don't know what anybody's going through. We got to trust God. And remember, only the Lord can judge. Because the Lord sees everything. And as we go to this life example, Timothy, a man who honored God. Timothy, born half Greek and half Jew, probably accepted Christ in his hometown, Lystra, during Paul's first missionary journey. Paul learned of Timothy's growth in his walk with Christ and made a man his aide during his second missionary journey. Timothy was Paul, I guess you could say he was the armor bearer. He was right there. So the name Timothy means one who honors God. And Paul entrusted him with the toughest assignments in Ephesus, Corinth, and Macedonia, and Thessalonica. In an ultimate show of commitment, Timothy, as an adult, submitted to the painful procedure of circumcision to accommodate Paul's preaching to Jews. Acts 16:3. The writer of Hebrews reports that at some point, Timothy also was in prison. Hebrews 13:23, which we will get to. Scripture reveals Timothy as a sometimes timid man who early in life devoted himself to the Lord and then spent his young adult years traveling the world to share the gospel. He continues to inspire us toward courage and boldness, even when we feel we naturally a mighty young man of God. Love God. Follow Paul. Did what he was told and started so many of these churches preaching the gospel. Let us not tell our youth what they can't do. Let us encourage them of what they can do. That is all God has given me today. I have a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And as y'all know, this sister is filled up because God is being in charge. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Always on point. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday, family. We have some time on our clock. If there's anyone that God has given a word, now is the time to push that one on your phone or call 213-943-3597, and your line will be open. If there is nothing, we are about to wrap up. Because you can't go farther than what God has given you. So I tell God this morning, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty word that you have given to us today. May we take it into our heart. May we take it into our minds. May we take it into our spirits, God. For there is none like you, Lord. And we know that you are the final say-so. You have the final say in our destination. Lord God, may we walk the walk, talk the talk, live the life that you have called us to live. For Lord God, we are your humble servants, open and ready to receive whatever it is you need us to do, Lord God. Help us to do it. And as I pray for each and every one of you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And thank God that he gave you another day. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning in this life. Tell God thank you. And tell God how much you appreciate his grace. Have a blessed day, family. Your host is all filled up. And I got things to do. So I'm just going to say, have a blessed day. Keep God first in whatever you do in your life. It's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available. Presently praying for each and every one of you. God bless you. And have a great day. As Sister Carolyn says, have a triumphant Tuesday. And be blessed. It's a wrap.